Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Hello.
Welcome to our show. In this episode, Jill and I talk about a single point of failure in real estate explained and why you never want this really in anything. Before we get to it, Jill, let's take a question posted by one of our members on landacademy.com, our online community. It's free.
Okay. Jay asks, so far, I've been having success with simply copying the property descriptions from previous deeds to new deeds. So what do you do when the last deed was created in 1977 and the starting point references an intersection that no longer exists? One road is gone, a faded line in the trees, and the other road has a new name. I assume it is the same road. The old deed also references three subdivision lot numbers, only one of which still exists.
This is a question made for you. And I think we're going to have the same answer on this.
Well, first thing I would do is check with the county is my first.
Who in the county would you call?
Probably the planning guys, because they're the ones that keep track of the roads and everything like that. The assessor doesn't do that, and the recorder doesn't do that. And zoning is zoning. I mean, there's zoning and planning are often in the same department.
Yeah.
But
I would call the recorder.
The recorder?
First. Yeah. Go ahead. Keep answering.
This section is good because I don't know why you would. The recorder just is the recording. I mean, for them to point you in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. No.
A good place to start. So. I have never done a deal.
Here's my answer. Can I go yet? I have never done a deal in my life where we changed the description from the grantor deed to the grantee deed. Never. Mm-hmm. In my life, ever. Even if it was wrong. Wrong descriptions. Incorrect descriptions, they get recorded through what's called a deed of correction or a corrective deed, depending on where you are in the country. So that's how they get corrected. They don't get corrected through conveyance.
Correct.
But, you know,
so that was going to be my first point too. You shouldn't be touching it.
Yes.
And my first point is, yeah, that was really my gut thing was, why do you know this much? Number one, and you shouldn't be touching it.
Yeah. Why do you know this much? That's my question too. Like, why are you looking into this deal so much that you know every little tiny thing about this? Here's the thing, Jay, and anybody else, when there's questions that these are very, very, very good questions, by the way, this is a transaction I would close through real estate, through a title agent or through an attorney if it's back east. And I would, you know, there better be enough room in the deal for you to afford the $800, because this is a pretty critical issue. If the property gets conveyed to you and it's not conveyed properly and you go to sell it a year from now or 20 minutes from now, like we do a lot in this group, you know, and you can't get a hold of the seller anymore. Let's say they just went dark or they passed away or whatever. This is a huge problem. You know, so I would record this with title insurance.
Well, and here, let me go back to the original thing too. If this was me and it was coming to me and I knew all this, who's to say that the guy conveying it to me is correct?
That's right.
So I almost, if it were me before I buy it, even I want to make sure that the person I'm buying it from gets it all squared away before it gets to me. I mean, that's it should be correct at some point. And the owner, I think the owner probably at that time, you know, he should easily be able to do this. You know
that's
what I mean?
Right.
If I own a property, if I own a property on 123 Main Street and Main Street is now Elm Way, because they do that sometimes. I've been at places where they change the name. Then my address is now Elm Way, you know, and I might get a new deed showing my address is now Elm Way. Have a nice day. It doesn't, you know, no one's charging me anything.
Wait a minute. You live someplace and they changed the address?
No, I actually worked somewhere. This is funny. worked at a big office in Tucson, and it was for an airline. And
did you just scarf a bunch of food?
I have a tickle in my throat, okay. No, but I do. No, but anyway, long story short, the street we were on had a lot of vacant land around it. A big company came in, and it was like a Hello Kitty kind of company. I'm not kidding. It was like Lisa K, or I don't know who the person was, but anyway, they came in and changed the name of the street that our big office was on. And it was hilarious because all the letters went out. Here's what you do. When you change a name, you've got to notify everybody who uses that address, by the way. We're changing it to this and get everybody's, and there's an X amount of time that to voice your opinion. Otherwise, it's going to happen. So they changed the name. So here I am at this big office this on this thing. It was like 70,000 square feet, and we can't have that name. So what do? We actually moved our front door. We literally changed our address and moved our front door off that street to technically, even though we all use that same door, moved our front door, you know, on paper to the other street, another street, you know, on the south side. So we didn't have to have that name as our street address. It can happen.
And
so that's where I go back to the seller needs to get it corrected and all that good stuff.
My first real estate job as a commercial real estate broker in Detroit, our address was on Crooks Road, C-R-O-O-K-S.
You can't have that.
You can't say that. This is before the internet. So everything got done on the phone, everything.
Was this in Detroit?
Yeah.
Was this in Detroit? Well,
it was in Troy, Michigan, which is a suburb where Eminem lives, but that doesn't matter.
So Crooks Road was correct.
Yeah.
Was there also a drug dealer alley?
Yeah, no, just drug kidding. Alley and drug alley. And then thievery way. Yeah.
Isn't that a band?
What are we talking about?
Oh, it's thievery something
thievery
else.
Corporation.
That's it.
So we're talking about this legal description. So please go through title on this stuff. And the other thing is this, and Jill and I do it on every single deal. I make sure of it. And a lot of people differ on this. If you talk to a title agent, they might have some stuff to say about it. But we include the APN just for everybody's convenience, not in the legal description, but somewhere on the document, on the deed that gets recorded, we say, you know, hey, this transaction is pertaining to APN 123-45-56789. Then there's just no discussing it about what got conveyed. Mm-hmm. So, and we do that on every single deal, even if it's glaringly obvious. Mm-hmm. I think that answers it. Mm-hmm. If you have a question or you want to be on the show, reach out to either one of us on landacademy.com. Today's topic is, what is a single point of failure in real estate? Well, let's explain it. This is the meat of the show. I have a big thing about single points of failure in anything. Let me tell you a huge mistake that I made one time, and it was a single point of failure in computers.
Oh, I was going to say women, but go ahead.
Yeah, you know what? Marriage by design is a single point of failure. Put all your eggs in one basket, and let's see what happens, and chuck them over a cliff. That's there what marriage is.
No.
So I had a bunch of servers in an office that I built a long time ago for us to use. And I got this bright idea one time that I would put all the boards and everything in one, you know, in one box because it's easier. Well, what I created was a single point of failure and it failed. And so instead of having one fail, you know, and say, well, that's not really tragic because just one failed and there's four, I've got three left. No, it all failed and the single point of failure failed and now you're done. You know, there's redundancy like in airplanes, right? There's more than one engine. There's redundancy in large boats. And that's the reason. So there's not a single point of failure. So you do not want to have a single point of failure in real estate. You don't want to just buy property in one subdivision. You don't want to have just one customer or client that you're buying property for. You know, you want to diversify this as much as you can. Some properties you want to sell retail. Some you want to wholesale. Maybe you want to wholesale some houses while you're, you know, selling 40-acre properties on each side of the Mississippi. Whatever it is, do not have a single point of failure where if something happens to that market specifically, let's say, you know, the next time there's a real estate crash, and there will be one, or a downturn, let's call it, you don't want to have all assets in one area that's ultra affected. That's my point. Diversify everything. It's the same thing with stock portfolios or any type of investing that you do. You know, what else is a single point of failure?
I put down, yeah, only one deal. Overkill, you know, overspending, spending too much. I had a
single point of failure in my career. It's the single biggest worst decision I've ever made, which is really what this title is about. In 2011-ish, the real estate world died between 2007 and 2011. Worst real estate crash in the country since 1929. In and of itself, land never goes away. Land is generally recession-proof as long as you're not financing everything, but it almost sunk the ship because we had a single way to sell property, and it was on eBay. We were famous for the $1 no reserve. That's all we sold. We had a static website. We didn't sell anything on it. It just had our phone number there. And our policy was never really to talk to the buyer unless they had some huge problems. Our phone number wasn't published. And boy, was that a mistake. We didn't do social media at all. You do never want to have a single channel of sales like that. Now we sell it all over the place. Usually we just purchase it and then we forward the APN to a huge list of buyers and somebody picks it and buys it. That, even in a recession, there's going to be people that are looking for bargains like we have. You just do not have a single point of failure. I can't say it. Mm-hmm. Stress this enough. Make the mistake I did. That's, you know, it's a huge sales pitch for us. Not a sales pitch, but it's a huge point that Jill and I bring up all the time when we talk to new members on our weekly webinars and the whole thing. Learn from our mistakes. You know, you can take 10 years and learn all the details yourself, or you can join our group and learn in about 3 weeks the stuff not to do. And this is one of those things. Never have a single point of failure in anything. You know what is another in your life, a single point of failure? Your job. It's one. What if you lose your job? Right. I mean, you hear about this all the time. It's tragic. Mm-hmm. It's all the more reason to make sure that you have multiple streams of income.
You know? A lot of people, I think, are in our world because of that. There's some people that are here learning to do this to replace their job. But a lot of people are here to supplement their income and give them that breathing room and create a nest egg and
right.
pay for kids' colleges. And because, that's true. The reality is these retirements and a pension, there's companies out there that still have pensions technically, but that could go away, you know? That sure happens.
I can't list the number of companies that the blue chip, so to speak, companies like General Motors, where that's all gone.
I know. So it's really a bummer. And so, yeah, that's the thing. And I tell people too, like I wrote this down, then I crossed it off, but now it kind of ties in, is don't leave your day job too soon. You know, don't let this be a single point of failure.
That's right. Don't let this be a single point of failure.
Yeah. Like you said, you talked about on yesterday's show, you talked to a guy that was getting ready to do that. And we always tell people all the time, if you're really at that point, you need to have, you know, six backups.
That's right.
All this stuff all figured out.
That's right.
And by the time you have all this stuff all figured out and you got enough money in the bank, you got steady cash flow. You don't have to think about that, blah, blah, blah. And you're really losing money. Sorry. I just did that. Don't even go there.
You know what? It's just a cute thing. That's how you know you love somebody. They do kooky stuff and it's like really entertaining and it's, you know, I am not laughing at you at all. I just think it's cute as hell.
Okay.
Like if someone else did it, I would be annoyed, but everything you do is cute.
But so yeah, then, and now you're like really losing money at your day job. You're really going backwards. Now it makes sense.
So let's think about this philosophically. What else, you know, what other things by nature are just a single, you know, men as a gender are famous for this. Because men want to put everything in a machine and they pray to the efficiency god and it's not efficient. I don't want to do it, you know. And so you make it to the, like my server example, you make it so efficient that when it fails and you just look, stare at it and go, you know, well, this is good. It was perfect. You have to have redundancy. You have to try new stuff. You know, you have to constantly try new ways to sell property. I was the big, you know, Facebook. I was so against Facebook. We have new members that come in and say, I hate Facebook. It's all guys, never women.
That's true.
And I said, you know, I hated Facebook too. I make a big deal out of it, out of this. And mm-hmm. I said, you need to get a Facebook username right now. Do not stay in contact with the people in high school. I know that's what you think this is all about. Don't, mm-hmm. you know, I removed everybody that I know socially. I only use Facebook for business. And so, you know, we're now, there's a zip code function on Facebook that allows you to really effectively sell property, which no one is using. So we've got, Jill and I are doing three large acreage deals that we're going to, hell or high water, we're going to prove our point and sell them on Facebook. Mm-hmm. That's my goal anyway.
Good.
So we fall in it. Jill and I, this is what we do. All right. And this is not what we teach, but this is what we do. We get a ton of property in. Every single day we get properties in. And we have a group of buyers, probably 12-ish, that are just hands down. We're lazy. That's what it comes down to. We send out these. We send out the APN, the state, the county, and the APN. And it's somebody on the on our A, we call it an A list, buys a property. You know, they wire the money.
Lazy or brilliant?
I don't know.
I got it.
More juice out of going the distance and doing all the engineering and putting the whole thing together, I think.
But wait a minute. Why? I double my money and I get out. I mean, that's really not crazy. Lazy, I say brilliant.
I mean, it is brilliant, but you know, we're not, you know how they say, do what I say, not what I do.
Not as I do.
That's not right.
That's true.
We should be setting an example. So we're all kidding aside, we are taking the steps toward firing back up our old retail operation so that it's glaringly obvious to the world.
See what we're doing.
See. Yeah. Exactly. Well,
and all that. So that's very true. It's still going on in the background, but we're not making it publicly known.
Right. So that's exactly right.
I'm getting
some flack for that lately.
The whole thing. So we do need to do that so everybody can see our deals. And I appreciate that. So I like your single, what other single points of, you're right, because you don't want to have, it's like you, like never, it's like if you have, oh, here's a single point of failure. I mean, it's really silly. What if you have everything on your one computer and you don't back it up anywhere? You don't have it in the cloud or anything else like that.
Good example.
Have we all lost documents and things like that in the past? Heck yeah. Do we do that anymore? Boy, I sure hope not. You know, we don't.
Here's a single point of failure that most of us can't do anything about. Our electricity. You know, if we were kooks, we'd have solar panels on the kooks, like one of Jill's friends. He's got solar panels and stuff and he uses both.
John, what were we talking about?
John, you're crazy. Oh, it's Generator John.
Yeah.
No, and I wish that was the only crazy thing about John. There's lots of crazy stuff about John.
Smart. No. He's really smart.
We love John.
Oh, totally. So
when you really start to think about it, it gets a little freaky. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not joking about marriage. That's a single point of failure. That can sink the ship. If your partner wakes up one day and says, you know, you're not the person for me. I want out. That can sink the ship.
What about in real estate? What about if you only have one product type and you never really learn anything else?
That's right.
What if you never expand? You know, I'm reading a wonderful book right now, and it's about our minds. And I just started this book, and I can't wait to share it with you, Jack, because by always being open to new things, your mind is constantly evolving. If you get in a rut, you stand a higher chance of what's the word? And I can't remember the word.
Maybe you suffer from memory loss if you don't continually have an open mind.
Alzheimer's.
That redefines irony right there.
Oh my god!
What was the name for it? Oh, it's Alzheimer's. That's what it is.
Oh my gosh! I could not be more embarrassed right now.
I am not cutting this out of the show. That's awesome.
Oh, that's hilarious! I can't believe I struggled to think of the word Alzheimer's. That is awful. Well, clearly, I need to work on this. So, but my point was, you should always be growing and evolving. Yeah. And I see our members doing that. They start with little properties and they go to different areas. And now they're, think of the number of people that started with us and they're buying 5 acres and now they're buying a section. And I'm sure when they started, they thought that was just so crazy. They couldn't even imagine it.
Yep.
And here they are actually discussing a section and how do we do it? And now they're looking at, all right, now we're looking at subdividing. All right. I mean, this is the way you succeed.
That's exactly right.
You're not
right.
One property type in, like you said, one little area, and all I do is buy and sell these lots in this subdivision. No. Expand, and it's going to help you in so many other ways.
So, and it, along these lines, there's a way to take it too far. You know, there's a way to overdo it. Like, you do not want to do 10 deals with this way and do them successfully and then buy a skyscraper. You know, that's a whole different program. There's management involved. You have to have a ton of capital reserves and all kinds of stuff. So they might lead to that if that's your end goal. But, you know, you don't want to go nuts and say, Jack and Jill said, you know,
I got 10 in hell now to buy this tower over here.
Yeah. Flipping property is one thing. Managing commercial property, apartments and stuff, or mobile home parks. Man, that's a whole different personality and talent. Did you ever notice that? We have no property managers. People that manage property are generally just kind of like, a, I don't know. They're just it's just a different personality type.
Mm-hmm. That's tougher. That doesn't sound fun to me at all.
Right. And there's a million property managers. None of them are listening to the show because they don't care about what we do. Rightfully so. That say, I could never be take the risk that these fix and flip people do, or us. You know, I've had a lot of people throughout my career say, how do you get past the risk? You know, and I said, what risk? If you see this as risky, if you see this as ultra risky, there's something else you got to do first.
That's a good point.
This is not risky the way we do it. You know, you need to look in the mirror and figure out where do you see the risk? Do you see it in, it's mostly because you just don't want to fail. So if you get into something like this or anything else, listener, and you're so concerned about failing, you need to do a bunch of other stuff in your mental world long before you ever pull the trigger on this. Oh, I got kicked into the desk.
What's he gonna say?
Oh, you just said it's over, not shut the hell up.
Yeah, no, that was a perfect way to end the show. Oh. That wasn't do anything like that. It was awesome. Okay. No, seriously. I didn't have time to write on my 3x5 car. Like, end.
Join us in another episode where Jill tells Jack when to end the show.
And I use inspiration and flashcards to try to alert him to get anything you want. We use it every day to buy property
and to cut each other off
for half of what it's worth. Cut each other off immediately.
My knees are so bruised after these shows.
From another state.
You are not alone in your real estate acquisition. I'm serious about that, Jill. You know, I've never seen risk in this ever, not once, and I know you don't either.
Mm-mm. No, I don't. No, I thought that was your wrap it up, and I'm like, oh, that's a beautiful way to wrap up the show. You know, we just talked about the things. Now, if you see some risks, this is, you know, you need to look at what you're doing and maybe go buy some bonds.
Yeah.
If you see this is risk, go buy some U.S. government treasury bonds.
Treasury bonds are probably more risky than real. Than
That's
land.
Why I said that.
So, you know, like if you had to go do something else for a living tomorrow? What would be so out of your comfort zone that you would just say, oh, my gosh, there's just, you know. You know it's good for you. You know that it's going to be profitable and succeed, but it's so out of your comfort zone that you just don't do it because you're, I don't know, for some reason. Do you have anything that comes to mind?
Driving for Uber. I don't know.
Driving for Uber?
I don't know. A lot of people are doing that. Do you know how many people I've seen that are coming out of retirement to drive for Uber and Lyft?
Just because they want to?
Because they need the money. Oh. And it's easy, fast money.
And they
can control their schedules, and they can go where they want, turn it off and on when they want.
Go to a different city or something?
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Isn't that interesting?
That just strikes me as so unsafe. I don't know why. I guess it's the dad in me.
Yeah. Just but yet we use it all the time. Cars.
You know, people getting in and out. Yeah. No, we use it, but people getting in and out of your cars and then sitting behind you. I guess, I don't know, taxi drivers, it's been going on forever. So it's just probably me.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. What would be so out of your comfort zone? Let's put it on you.
You know, if somebody threw a company at my face that was fully functioning and doing well and it was priced perfectly and said, you really should buy this company. Actually, I've done this a couple times. And it's just not something I'm interested in, but I buy it anyway. And it fails and I wonder why. And it's just because it's not you know, I love software. I love software. I love real estate and I love data. I love these, and all three of those things are growing at a pretty rapid pace. So I just know it. But, you know, I've owned manufacturing companies and some other stuff, and not that they failed. They didn't thrive the way that, for whatever reason, this type, using data to buy property, is we thrive at it. You know, it's not mm-hmm. like we're just, it's profitable. We kill it, you know? So it would be, if somebody said, here's a manufacturing company that manufactures parts for Ford, and a Q rating's there, and everything's working great, and you should continue on with it and grow it and make it better. That would be out of my comfort zone entirely.
And you love cars.
Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah, but I don't know. If it's not software-based, I'm not sure I'd be too good at it. I'd be out of my zone for sure. Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cash Flow from Land Show.
We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.